Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John goes medieval on some rodent intruders and buys votes in his 8th grade election. Meanwhile, I reveal what 70s movie made me distrust green smoothies and tell the true story of how someone was once accused of witchcraft because they played shuffleboard. Plus a conversation about human nature and how our view of God as a friend and loving father should inform our own prayer life. Today's episode is not sponsored by yellow traffic lights. We either mean caution or floor it, depending on your personality. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Well, it's a lovely day for a walk through Bantertown. I'm John. This is Johnny. It's Talk About That.
Spring has sprung, John.
Spring has sprung. It's like 80 degrees outside.
The pollen count is probably.
I took a run yesterday and I mowed before I ran. Yeah. And yeah, something got in my throat.
Do you run while you're mowing? You could just knock out both
of them. God, that'd be great, wouldn't
it? A little jog mow. Probably wouldn't get it.
Feels unsafe.
Uneven cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Step.
You don't run with sharp equipment.
Step in a mole hole.
Stuff. I have a lot of those. Do you know what a vole is?
Did you tell me this off air?
I
never heard of it.
Our lives now just
I never
mix.
Heard of it. It's a mole that, hold on, it's a violent mole. It's like a mole, but it has weapons.
I don't know. I'm assuming it's in the mole family, but they call it vole. And it, like,
is this a southern thing? It's not really a thing?
No, it's real. I mean, all
but
I know
But I'm saying, is it really called a vole? Like, if I type in vole.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I just ordered mole and vole mace for the yard.
Mole and vole mace.
Yeah. And basically, it's castor oil. So they hate the smell. So.
But you don't have to actually spray it on them.
No, I have to catch them, spray them, and teach them a real lesson.
Yeah, I got my wallet. Hold on. You're fumbling for your keys.
Just come a little closer.
Mole and vole. Make sure you're not downwind. Mace yourself.
I was sitting outside today.
Yeah.
Having a little time in the morning by the fire. That's the fire pit out here on our church patio. And this little, like, it was a young squirrel.
Okay.
You know, all squirrels are small. He was. I think he was young. And it's like, I don't think he knew I was there.
Mm-hmm. An aloof squirrel.
Yeah. Like, not paying attention to his surroundings.
Yeah.
And so he came up and, like, started sort of exploring the other chairs next to me. And so I kind of moved a little bit.
Right.
And he kind of stopped, but he didn't run.
Huh.
He's
not
there.
Learned fear of humans yet.
Yeah.
And which so can almost, be fun. And also, if it gets close enough, you're like,
this is rabies waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Why do you just assume that every squirrel's rabid? You know what I'm saying? Maybe
I don't
just,
mean to besmirch.
Maybe
the
he was
squirrel
just extroverted.
Community.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's an outgoing squirrel. He wants to make a friend, and you're like,
yeah.
You would think the Disneyfication of us all, we would be like, a squirrel.
Yeah.
You think he's going to sing a song?
He was. He did.
I mean, tears your face off.
It was. Yeah.
He did sing a song.
Yeah.
That's nice. So what happened? You eventually spooked him, and he ran
took
away.
Took a video of him, and then he walked away.
So you used him for content,
right? I didn't post it. I was
watching a show yesterday that I just started watching. We're binging it now. It's called Superstore, and it's really funny. And there, in the plot of the show of this episode was the manager had agreed to let someone solicit for donations outside, but they also had another donation campaign going on inside, and so she'd kind of like double booked it. Mm. So now they were competing. One of them was like a toy giveaway. And the other one was just like a Salvation Army kind of guy. He's ringing a bell. And so she'd already agreed to let the guy ring the bell outside. And so now her toy campaign that she had agreed to let her other manager do was just failing miserably. So somebody comes in and they're like, well, I already gave at the front. And so they go, you don't have a toy. You want to buy a toy and then you could leave it in this basket. And they go, well, I already did it out front and I already posted on social media about it. So I don't know what would be the point of doing it now and posting. I don't want to post again. And the guy goes, well, you could just give a toy and like let that be the thing because you're giving. And they go, you mean like you guys will post about it and tag me? And they go, no. You would just do it for charity for the kids. And she goes, wait a minute. Did the kids post about this? He literally could not understand giving for it was just such a funny like commentary on how great. We give, but we want to make sure there's content as well. We've wired ourselves.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not, by the way, if you were to support the podcast through Patreon, it's not how it works.
That's not how it works at all. You won't get any credit. No, you'll get
it's yes.
You get ad free versions of the show and you get some cool things. And it's, yeah, we're actually going to set up a Zoom call with our patrons very soon.
You keep saying that.
We're going to do it.
We've done it before.
Here's what happens, though. I don't want it to be like, we set it up and we're like, come on, you get your free moment in the sun with John and Johnny. And then, like, nobody comes. And then we're like,
it's like the
15th birthday party where
no one showed up.
You throw the party because you're hoping the cute girl that you have a crush on shows up.
Ugh.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And then, like, nobody comes.
Turns out she has the same birthday.
Right.
She and everyone went to her house.
She's, yeah.
So, in theory, you should be made for each other, but.
You would think.
I think I just wrote a screenplay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Twins from another mother.
Wait. Well, just because you share a birthday doesn't mean you share a mother.
But no, from another mother. That's what I said. From another mother.
Twins from another. Could you?
Star-crossed twins.
We should write it first and work on the title later. So the Zoom call that you keep promising, why don't you go ahead and
set
it up?
I'll just say that if we set it up and then nobody comes, we're going to have our feelings hurt and we'll probably cancel the show.
Yeah.
No more podcasts.
I mean, it
for
seems
you.
A bit like we're overreacting.
We've teased a live show where we do a live recording of the show. We never did that.
No.
Make a lot of promises on this show.
No. Correction.
We're like politicians over here.
Correction.
If elected,
you make a lot of promises, and I'm always down.
Well,
no,
people
back.
Pushed. People pushed us for the 200th episode to be a live
people
show.
Can you be
people who watch the show that we know are friends and listen? They're friends, and they go, we would come. And I was like, yeah, even if it's like 20 or 25 people in a room, with a little studio, we could have fun with that. We could pass around a microphone and take questions and stuff. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
And we need to do it, but we haven't done it.
Yeah.
We could even sell tickets. Do you think people would buy it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I've gone too far. I've tried to monetize it.
Johnny tried to get... You're going to make some merch next for it?
Ooh.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Johnny, you made that... profound statement. You know that a movement's gone wrong when they start getting merch.
Yeah.
But
now, it's okay for products to have merch or like brands to have merch.
Or comedians say, maybe.
Yeah, comedians like, that's not at all selling out. But when a movement, that's a problem. That's a tipping point of your movement when it becomes like,
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It's hard because you want to get the word out. So like you would see... I don't know. I don't want to just point fingers at politics, not just politics, because it's not, you know, when you see the Bernie bros or you see the Trump people, merch was very important to both of those people. You'd see Bernie stickers on people's Priuses and you'd see Trump flags in front of people's houses. But I do think that there's like, it should alarm you when you, when it becomes about that, when it becomes about the monetization of it.
Well, I think when it becomes an image that...
If there's no there.
Right. Is the thing that you're talking about bigger than the image that you're promoting? Or does the image now represent something larger? Like, my whole take, again, this is not politics.
Whose image is on the coin? Wait.
Render unto Nixon.
Render unto driver.
They've always used...
That which is drivers.
Which I love, by the way, if you go back, you know, one of the first people in American history to ever actually campaign for office, because that was not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who it was?
I don't.
You should know because you have been present for certain... I'm trying not to give it away.
Okay.
It's going to give it away. Theatrical performances in which you should understand this.
Okay.
Still doesn't give it away.
Hamilton?
Aaron Burr
campaigned.
Aaron Burr campaigned
for
vice president.
So he made it a popularity contest. He tried to say, like, I can win the hearts and minds of these people by just being... charismatic.
Yeah, he went out and talked to people and tried to get their vote, which was a no-no.
Yeah.
Like, even all the way, even after him, was a no-no. Like, people just did not do that for the most
part.
Now
it's like, you can't move without it.
No.
You can't just be like, well, I've got the best ideas. Yeah, but I'm not seeing you on a bumper sticker.
Yep.
Not with a name like Grabinowitz. We're changing that right now.
When I ran for office in middle school and high school, it was all about the candy.
I made
posters, and I had people with me making posters.
Free candy.
But whoever gave out the most candy, you could get their vote. And it worked. I won every year except one when I was on a ticket. I was the only freshman on a ticket.
Hmm.
And so then, but I'm telling you, I stand by
the diabetes platform.
Apparently, it was, I don't know. People, I don't know if they asked me my ideas at all.
No.
Wow.
Sugar was your platform.
Yeah. Johnny, I think I was a good leader. I think I led judiciously.
I think you led chew-diciously. Deliciously.
I led chew-diciously.
That's
good, Johnny. I don't care who you are.
Sorry. John's your sugar daddy, America.
My mom convinced me, I don't know, it was probably eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
And I was so embarrassed. You know how you are in middle school? So embarrassed. And she was like, because my house was a quarter mile from the school on Old Hickory Boulevard,
right?
Where the school was, Davidson Academy High School, middle school. And literally, she was like, you can put signs and balloons and stuff like up on our mailbox. And everyone, there's a big long
line that says, vote for me.
Yeah. There was a big long line of cars. It was a huge, to get into school, you waited in line, the school zone.
Yeah.
You have all these people sitting there looking at your name.
It's like a billboard.
I was so embarrassed by the idea of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was running for office.
Yeah.
And so I will say this. I didn't do everything
right. You said
right.
This is beneath me, mother.
No, I just was like,
I have a sophisticated campaign.
Like,
I'm
no one else
over
is going to do this. She's like, yeah, exactly. No one else is going to do this.
Your mom had a point.
I don't know if mom said exactly like that. When I write the movie someday.
Yeah. You know? She'll be wiser.
She'll pause and be like,
exactly.
She was very wise. She's had there's more one-liners in my retelling of it now.
Yeah.
But I did it. And yeah. I won. And I'd like to give my mom credit for.
And look where it got you.
Yeah. Look where I am now.
It propelled you.
If you would have told me 30 years ago, Johnny, that I'd be sitting right here, right now, doing this, I would have said, you're crazy.
I don't think I ever really graduated from seventh grade mindset. So, in a way, I'm still that kid that would have been like, this guy's got posters.
Loser put the poster on his mailbox.
Yeah. I would have been like, free candy?
Yeah.
This guy.
I don't know what I put on there. I vote for change. I don't know. Like, what are you really changing? But.
And it's like, you vote for change, but then you taped a bunch of chocolate coins. Change.
Nice.
See?
Johnny, yes.
This is why you needed me as your campaign manager.
Wordplay. Needed the wordplay. Hey, and speaking of change, guys, don't change that channel. We're going to take just a moment to hear from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
To be clear, you can't change a channel. It's a podcast.
Yeah, that's
right.
That was the worst thing.
That's what you used to do. Don't change that dial.
Don't touch that dial, everybody.
There's no dial now. It's on your phone.
There's a button. Or
it's digital.
Yeah.
Somebody might be listening on a device that has a regular button.
Yeah.
What could it be?
I don't know. Like one of those old Sansa MP3 players that were like the knockoffs of
I don't know.
They don't make those anymore.
There's no support
for those. Remember Zune, the Microsoft Zune?
Yes.
It was going to be the worthy competitor to Apple products.
To the iPod.
And we just...
Gomez had a Zune.
Yeah. They had their own music store, their own
yeah.
proprietary programming.
Yeah.
And it...
No.
Yeah. From what I heard, it was actually an okay device. We knew people that had Zunes and they loved them.
Doesn't matter.
Just, we had decided that whatever this MP3 player in your hand was an iPod.
Right.
What kind of iPod do you have? A Zune.
Exactly.
Like, that's when you know you've,
it you're became not the make Kleenex. It. Mm-hmm. What do you want, a Kleenex?
Or Google. You Google things.
Right.
Instead of search engine became, you know, Google. Synonymous with Google.
Tissue became Kleenex and MP3 yeah. player became iPod.
Were there better tissues out there? We will never know.
Maybe.
Maybe so.
Maybe. Like,
what if Kleenex isn't the best tissue, but we just don't know?
Wouldn't it be crazy? And what does it really mean?
To be the best tissue?
Kleenex. And why is it K-L-E-E-N? Like, see, I've never even, out of all the years of Kleenex, like, it sounds like a chemical.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, X sounds like, yeah, it's three X's on the side of a jug.
They dropped Kleenex on a village or whatever. Like, it sounds awful.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're hiding something.
Kleenex, I need you to defend this. I need you to answer for yourself.
I want to know the history.
Kleenex does sound like a chemical.
How they got here. What if we're all putting chemicals up to
our nose? I got Kleenex in my eyes, and then it burned. I had to flush it with water.
Yeah, for like 20 minutes.
I always think that's funny of like when you get, if you get shampoo in your eye, like the back of the bottle says, flush eyes with water. Like I wouldn't have thought of that.
Right. What am I going to do?
Quick.
Get a match.
Get the mayonnaise. Like what are you, the water's already there.
Right, you're literally...
If you have shampoo in your eyes,
and you're water not in the shower.
That's something you're already... You're not reading the bottle now for answers.
Right.
First of all, your eyes are burning. You can't read.
Flush with water. Yeah. I couldn't think of what else to do.
I don't know.
That's good, Johnny.
But yeah, Kleenex is. It's a very... It sounds caustic.
Insidious.
If you don't know what it is...
Yeah.
It sounds like a jug of Kleenex that you then like...
Yeah. Pour on the floor right before you mop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it sounds like.
You light it on fire and it...
Yeah.
I don't have to mop anymore.
Why did you do... Johnny, have you ever mopped?
No.
Don't you pour down caustic materials and set them on fire?
That's what I do.
That's how it works.
I've never mopped again. I did mop. I've mopped my fair share of floors in this church
where
we record this. You have too.
I have too.
Yeah.
Remember when the floors downstairs were that hard rubber?
Yeah, it was a rubber flooring.
Mopping those were awful because you couldn't get up.
There's a lot of drag.
Yeah, a lot of drag. A lot of friction.
You'd really have to go back over it with a vacuum after you mopped because it would pick up the fibers from the mop.
I had this conversation with someone the other day because obviously these are important things. And I was like, mopping in general is just taking a dirty old mop.
The first mop
is great.
It's good, but as you get going,
yeah.
You've got a wet, it's like a bath. It's like baths versus showers. The first few minutes in the bath, oh wow, look at this, but then you're surrounded now.
Like you're literally in a tub of your own filth.
You're just stewing.
And you're going, "Look how clean I'm getting." That's not cleaning your body and a mop's not cleaning your floor. And you know what? I'm sick of it. What we need, Kleenex. New from
put Kleenex on the end of your Swiffer.
I wonder where the X came from.
It sounds like you used to be clean.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I was clean.
But now I'm X clean.
Wait,
Kleenex, we got it. Yeah.
Somebody was like, run with it. Don't spell it with a C.
Whatever you do.
Maybe somebody had already taken that.
Or even an EA. It's like, K-L-E-E.
Mm-hmm.
How have I never noticed that?
It's just a more whimsical spelling, I guess.
This goes back to the product placement you're talking about. That one's so embedded in culture. Because I knew normally if you spell something that should be C with a K, it's like, it's jumping off the page to me or off the billboard. Like, I'm like, oh no, we talked about that before.
Yeah.
I've never even noticed till now.
Yeah.
Like, I've not paid attention. They won. Like, that marketing campaign won.
Maybe it's because a Mr. Clean was already a product by then.
And but those are
they
two
already
different.
Had clean. Yeah, but they had clean kind of with a C. It's Mr. Clean.
But they're two different. One's to clean your floor.
Mr. Clean got divorced, and that's his Kleenex.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Come on now.
Apologies to the Clean family.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
We send our love.
Yeah. I thought they were going to make it.
Please reconcile.
The Mr.
She didn't care for his attitude. I don't know. I don't think I was very good at cleaning the building. I think I was just okay. I wasn't very passionate about it.
Are you wanting me to?
I want you to please
agree.
I want you to affirm me and be like, no, you were the greatest.
You know what's great?
Yeah.
Is if you were cleaning the building today, I'd be your boss.
Yeah.
And that'd be horrific.
That would not be great.
Like, imagine, we're like, hey, because we're here right now.
It'd be like, hey, when we finish, we got to hurry up and do this, and then I need you
to go clean the building.
Get the building ready for services.
Because I was not your boss then.
Yeah. Hey, one of those toilets is still clogged, Johnny. I need you to really, like, work on it. And I'd be like, yeah. Let me...
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, that'd be awful. Johnny, I thought you did a terrific job. I don't know what you're talking about. So...
Here's the thing. The things that really bother me the most were the windows. We have so many windows in this building.
Ugh.
And we're up on a hill, kind of, so it's like...
Somebody made some big deal about a light on a hill...
Yeah, city on a hill.
And it was like...
The dirt could not be hidden.
Ugh.
I would squeegee these windows and think they were good. And then the sun would come out. And you go, whoa. See every... Won't that preach?
Guys, come on now. Some of y'all
think you're clean because you're hiding from the light.
But it's clean X.
You cleaned yourself in the dark.
Because you can't... Okay. You need to stop mopping your window. I don't know.
All that said, windows are a nightmare. If you clean, like when I was in Vegas, and it's a ton of gigantic buildings, and you know it's a very showy town.
Yeah.
And we stayed at the MGM Grand Hotel, and I kept thinking to myself, I cannot imagine being the guy that is responsible for the glass.
Yeah.
In this building.
That's when you know you clean, when you start looking elsewhere.
Yeah.
And going, wow.
I think it's just being part of being a grown up is you think of logistical problems.
Right. Like, how many parking spaces do they put here?
Man, how do you heat and cool this building?
Right.
You start thinking of the size of something and the scale of it.
I do walk in and look for the exits.
Oh, really?
If I have to get my kid out of here quick.
Okay. That's a parenting thing, probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't do that.
On a military thing, they don't turn their back to the exits.
Do you sit in a certain side of the booth because of that?
Sometimes.
You want to see an attacker coming?
Sometimes I wonder.
When you're with me, you don't, because you're like, Johnny's got this.
Like when
Johnny'll see him. He's got.
Oh, Johnny's got this. I promise. You do not want to fight Johnny. Sometimes when I'm running, this is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is such a sixes mind. We're going through the worst case scenarios. I'm on the opposite side of the road, right? But I think running yesterday, I was thinking, if I was going to get hit by a car though from behind, would it be better this way? Because I wouldn't tense up first. And they always say in accidents is if you tense up first.
So somebody
hits
you head on, you're running against traffic.
They don't have time to tense up.
They could swerve into you.
But the truth is that neither one are great options.
I don't think tensing up or not tensing up is
going to
affect your survivability.
And they'd have to come way over there.
Yeah.
Because I'm on literally the opposite side of the road on the white line.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
You never thought like that?
No, I try not to run on the road. I try to go to greenways or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, run on the road's not.
Well, I'm running on.
Yeah, on sidewalks.
I get over a lot if I see cars coming. It's uncanny how often if a car is coming towards me, I turn around.
Do you get honked at?
No.
People throw things?
No, but I have raised my hands like when they pass, like, what? Dude, what was the deal? Why didn't you get over?
Yeah.
But I just get in the ditch if that's the case.
Do they pull over and apologize?
No, and then I think to myself, what if this was one of those situations I shouldn't have done that because people are crazy.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? So
well, in fairness to them, they were probably texting. They didn't see you.
Right. They can't help it.
Yeah. It was an important text. My niece just got her permit.
Nice.
My brother's stepdaughter just got her permit. And so he texted me the other day. He was just like, she's on the road now.
Mm. Like all the way in Nashville, you should be careful.
He was just like, pray. And I was like, man, parenthood is not... I sent him back. I said, parenthood is not for the faint of heart, man.
Listen.
Because this is somebody that, you know, he's known her since she was... I think when he married Tara, she was 3 or 4. So he's basically raised her. Helped raise her.
Man,
that's got to be... It's coming for you, man.
It's coming for very soon. She'll be 15 this summer.
Yeah.
We've done some driving lessons. It's one of those, like... For me, Mount Juliet's gotten so crowded.
But what better place to learn?
Or like Nashville's gotten crowded, and I have to make some sort of veteran driving decision.
Yeah.
At least once every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came over the line a little bit. There was a big truck over a hill.
And you think that she's not equipped.
I go, will she be equipped?
You think that you have superpowers that...
I think that I've been driving long enough that it's a little more instinctive for me.
All right.
For adults, I just think
it is. Did you get in wrecks and stuff when you were her age, though?
I got in one wreck in my dad's old 1976 F-150 coming home from... I had my own little private mowing on the side. I picked up a few places for a little extra cash.
Uh-huh.
I was covered in grass. And I think I was going on a date that night, and there was a girl...
Is this when you got it stuck in a field or something?
No, a girl was in the truck with me.
Yeah.
And I looked over at the girl, and I looked up, and the car in front of me had stopped. It was about a mile from my house.
Yeah.
And that 1976 F-150...
Did not have to stop
it. Had a 390.
Oh, yeah.
Or 391. Gosh, sorry, Chevy, Ford people.
The cubic, you call it the cubic
leader. It's either 390 or 391. Someone out there
engine block,
right at,
yeah.
And it would not stop. It, you know, that light rear end, and it just, I
rear ended the person.
Yeah.
No, nobody was hurt?
No. Well, no.
Yeah.
But it was really tragic. My brother.
Seat belts and everything?
So that actually is a tragic story in my family. My dad and brother came down to help.
Yeah.
You know, and the cops are there, and we're getting everything settled and everything. And all of a sudden, it's kind of a core memory. I heard my dad yell, Michael, my brother's name, and my dad take off running. Well, my brother was down there just helping. He was older than me.
Yeah.
Some dude was rubbernecking the accident and sideswiped my brother while he's standing there.
Holy moly.
Into a ditch. And so he was fine. He had back issues and stuff. And
holy, I never knew this.
Yeah, the guilt I carried because that happened because I was, you know.
Yeah, he was in that situation
because of me, yeah. So I took him to the hospital, the whole deal, and he was, you know, he was okay, but he had to go to, you know, what you call it, rehabilitation. No, well, that's not it for your back. Therapy.
Physical therapy,
yeah.
So, sheesh.
But sorry, Michael, to this
day. You.
Yeah, if I wouldn't have looked at that girl. So,
isn't that funny, dude?
Isn't that crazy?
Listen, it's better to cut your eye out
and
enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye, John,
than to cause an accident.
That then,
right?
It's a little bit of butterfly effect.
The original Greek is iffy on that with the whole rear ending the person, but yeah. So, no, I mean, Sadie's
to me. Didn't the girl cause the accident then?
You know what?
This seems so. We're headed down a path here.
I don't. No, I mean that's if you're a true six, then
yeah.
You absorb all the responsibility. So
yeah,
my brother's like, you know, it wasn't your fault. I mean, that was that guy's fault. I was like, yeah, but
yeah. Now we all just look all over the car when we're driving. We don't. I mean, I don't even know. I'm so distracted as a driver.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm a good driver, but I just, my car technology enables me to be more distracted. Yeah. In other words, it doesn't make me do the distracted things. It just makes the distracted things I already do okay to do.
Yeah.
If I get a notification or a text, I'm going to look down at my phone and I don't get into an accident now because I have Smart Cruise on.
Wow.
But back in the day, that might have caused an accident.
Can we tell the listeners what city we were recently in? Is that out of the question?
No, that's fine.
So we were driving in Pasadena a couple weeks back together. You were driving.
La La Land.
And we were close to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
And yeah, because it's very unfamiliar.
Right.
And following the GPS, and there was a stop sign.
Right.
And there was a car coming.
Uh-huh.
Because it was their turn to go. And I was like, Johnny! And like, you saw it and stopped. But that's just, to me, that wasn't you being distracted. That was
I wasn't looking at my phone.
Unfamiliar city.
Right.
Because the roads...
And I was trying to find, like, is this our turn? Is the next turn our turn? And I didn't see the stop. Someone was, like, off to the side a little bit, and I didn't realize it was just a four-way stop.
I've done that in...
I thought I was... Like, I thought like I didn't have a... Yeah.
Downtown Atlanta or something where you're kind of trying to weave your way in roads to get to a different destination, and you're like...
Yeah.
You know.
So what you're saying is if you hadn't been there...
Johnny, who knows?
Who knows?
You probably would have been already at the hotel, because we stopped to eat sushi.
Right.
In LA.
I was trying to find food for you.
We wanted In-N-Out Burger.
There was a line just...
It was
immense.
Not just a line, around the restaurant.
It was a mile down the road.
There was like a half a mile at least, I'd say, in the lane of the street to pull into the parking lot.
Yeah, it was like a car line at a school.
Yeah.
Where people just line up because they know it's almost 3:30 or whatever.
And we had been traveling, and I was like, this is not worth it. So we ate some really good...
We did.
Asian food. And then the next... Well, two nights later, we went out late.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, now it's like 10:40.
What's going to be?
We'll go get the In-N-Out Burger. We went and came up from the
Once
other
again,
side.
We never got
And you
got
were about
our...
to pull in. I go, Johnny, you can't pull in here. He's like, what do you mean? And it was one of those, it reminded me of A Christmas Story, mm-hmm. where he's going to see Santa.
Yeah.
And his parents walk away. He's like, he walks up with his little brother, Ralphie. And he goes, he's standing there. And the guy goes, hey, kid, what do you think you're doing? He's like, I'm in line to see Santa. The line starts back there. It was like that. The line was once again down the street, but there was a little space between it. And we thought we were just going to pull in and get a burger like a normal human.
We would have been killed.
Yeah, we would have been like, you know, cutting off a good 55 cars. So we never did get an
In L.A., they call that a burger buster.
Oh, yeah. I see it all the time.
Yeah, that's not real.
Not really a thing.
It could be. It should be.
It now is.
It will have merch very soon.
See, that merch I could get
the
behind.
Burger busters?
Yeah.
Don't be a burger buster. Wait your turn.
Wait your turn.
In-N-Out.com.
Yeah. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. They could be. It'd be nice.
I'll be in Dallas in a few weeks, and there's In-N-Out.
That's right. It's kind of spreading, and we'll get it eventually here in Nashville, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then people will be like, yeah, it's overrated. People want to shout it down.
Have you gone to the Whataburger?
To me, burger places are all good. Wow. It's hard to mess up a burger.
You know, I kind of agree. I like them all. Have you been to Whataburger here?
Yeah, and it's fine. I think it's more like a Sonic burger. It tastes a lot like a Sonic burger.
I think Sonic burger.
It's like it's a very big.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bread.
We had my first Whataburger. You remember where?
Maybe Dallas.
No. I was on the road with you.
Oh, I don't know then.
Destin, Florida.
Really?
Yeah. We were down in Destin. That was the trip I lost my wallet.
We went to Sarasota, Bradenton area.
But we were in Destin first.
Mm-hmm.
And went out, and we went late again. And I thought it was I was shockingly surprised how good it was.
Yeah, and then I remember you're doing it because you're the organized one for sure, or at least more anal retentive. You're more like, I got everything, I got on things, I got a backpack full of all the things.
Yeah.
And then so we had that early flight, and you were like, no, what time are you setting your alarm for? You're like reminding me. And then we wake up and we get to the airport, and you don't have your license.
Then my wallet, yeah.
Your whole wallet. I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah. So we left it in.
I was like, what about now? No, I didn't.
Yeah, how you like it? Yeah, that was so Tampa Airport.
It's weird. When you're at the airport, you just imagine like they won't let me fly, but they have like the five questions they ask.
Yeah, they like literally do an FBI check with you if you can answer your question. So tell me, here's five addresses. Which one did you not live at or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
You got to really. That's hard to remember sometimes. If you're like, did you ever own a Chevy Cavalier? And you're like, I've had a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I saw that same show last night. They were trying to do a sobriety test. They were like, look, turn around or stand on one foot, count the alphabet. Or sorry, I'm going to say count the alphabet.
Yeah.
Recite the alphabet backwards, skipping every other letter.
Yeah, there's no way.
And I was like, I couldn't do that sober.
I would just be called a drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, Z?
I was like, maybe I've been drunk my whole life because I can't do this.
X? I feel like he started. Yeah. It's like, I guess you had to visualize. Well, you're a visual guy.
We're not really made to process things backwards. Wasn't that the old thing that people used to say about, like, Satanists, that they said the Lord's Prayer backwards and that was their prayer? I don't know if any of that was true. That was a lot of, like, there was a lot of, you know, satanic panic going on. But that was like, so we're not really made to do things backwards. Right. And won't that?
Guys.
Isn't that just like our lives?
Sort of.
We're supposed to do things forward.
Yeah. Some of y'all have been moving backwards.
The windshield is bigger than the rear window for a reason.
Mm.
And then people say the rear view mirror. Wait, the rear? The windshield is bigger than the rear view mirror for a reason. You're supposed to look forward more than you look. You have two ears and one mouth.
You know what that means? It'd be hard to talk with two mouths.
And it'd be hard to put food in your ears.
Right.
That's not how that works.
I don't think that's what they mean.
That's what killed Dad.
You know, windshields, by the way, one of my favorite things, I can't think of windshields. Did you ever read that book, A Praying Life by Paul Miller?
No.
Put you on the spot.
No.
You need to, Johnny.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
I'll look it up.
Because if you think a book on prayer, you're like, wah, 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 right?
No. Why would you?
Wait.
You're trying to promote this to me, and you're saying, like, I know what you're thinking, unspiritual person like yourself, Johnny. You're probably thinking, womp, womp.
Thinking like a worldly.
Are you trying to get me to read this book?
Like a worldly person like you.
Yeah.
Okay. But he talks about the way the modern Christian tends to just, like, hyper-focus on prayer and devos and stuff, you know?
Right.
Like, it almost becomes its separate.
Yeah. I got to go into this separate spiritual mode. I got to compartmentalize it.
And I wouldn't say it's a separate religion.
Right.
But it's a separate religious practice from your others.
And it becomes like a ritual more than another part of myself.
You have a secular life, you have a sacred life, and you enter in and out of the two.
Yeah.
And it's really about, like, actually all things, you are the part. If Christ is in you, then you are what makes this moment sacred. Yeah. He is what makes this moment sacred. So if you're in him and he's in you, then your presence, you know, can bring sacred things everywhere. But he talks about windshields, and he says, focusing, like, on when you're trying to pray, like, has this been long enough?
Yeah.
Am I focused right now? Mm-hmm. Which I forget who it was, but it was in Vyodas's book. He said, if your mind wanders, it was one of the ancients, I think. If your mind wanders 1,000 times during prayer, it's 1,000 opportunities for your mind to return to Christ. Like, stop worrying about that.
Yeah.
Who cares if your mind wanders? You can't stop that necessarily. But,
well, and what good father would be mad at his kid for having a wandering mind?
Right.
You know, if we believe God's a good father, but yet we think of him as somebody's, like, going to be so fed up with our ways. He made us. He knows that we're distracted.
Yeah, we tend to live with an assumption like he doesn't really know our ways.
Yeah.
Or that if he knows them, he's like, God, this again?
Right.
Right. If he's acquainted with all my ways. I love how it's in that book by, it's called Gentle and Lowly.
Okay.
By Dane Ortlund.
Yes.
And he talks about, he's quoting actually Puritans, which get a different, we have a different, I think, idea in our minds often of what Puritanism was. But how Puritan theologians, they would write about that God sees your struggles or your sin as a malady, mm-hmm. as a sickness, not as something to be upset with you about. But like any good father, like you just said, or a sheep, like if something's wrong with you, the father in your sin is actually rushing closer to you to help.
Yeah.
Because he understands. Like he understands that your value is apart from your behavior. So that there's that's we're talking a couple hundred years ago, theologians were writing that. This is not like just some modern spin,
yeah.
You know, for grace only. But anyway, Paul Miller says, thinking of prayer or thinking of time with God like that is like looking at the windshield and not through it.
Okay.
And if you ever try to drive, it's dangerous to look at the windshield.
Yeah.
Right.
It's almost like, if you're climbing down a set of stairs and you start thinking about the individual steps, you'll trip and fall.
Every time, yeah.
Yeah, it almost needs to be like just a motion that you just let your mind do it.
Do it.
Let your body do what it's supposed to do.
Let it be what it's going to be. Sadie and I talk about that. Let that be. There's no right thing. I talk to the staff about that. Like, I tend, as you know, to over-communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So when I pray, I can do that. If I'm like, oh, I'll pray for this.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, my memory is awful, but generally if they've all shared needs, they laugh.
Yeah.
Like we'll share 6-7 needs. For whatever reason, I can remember it when I'm praying.
Yeah.
So I'll go around and name it very specifically, all the things that were just named. When we get to the end, sometimes they'll go, you just remembered all of that. I'm like, I don't know. That's just what happens when I couldn't remember my own middle name,
mm-hmm.
you know, but for whatever reason in prayer, but y'all know you don't have to do that. That's just how I'm made. I don't know why. It's weird.
Yeah.
So you could just be like, I'm trying to get them like, hey, someone just say a quick, hey, God, great day. Thanks for it.
Right.
Bye. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fine. So I'll start ending prayers with bye.
Bye. And you end your prayers with bye. In Jesus' name. Bye. No, it is. And I think it's, you talk about that list thing, the idea of like, if I go to God, I've got to have a pre-prepared thing. It reminded me of this Seinfeld where George is going to have to call a woman for the first time. And I think he does this once with a parent's phone call too, where he knows he's got to call and talk to his mother. And so he makes a list of things to talk about. And he does it with a woman too, where he's like, you know, so he seems interesting. And they go, what's on the list? And he's reading it to Jerry, that I'm really good at driving in reverse. He's like, it's a bunch of weird stuff like that. Why didn't Ovaltine ever catch on as a more popular drink? Like Jerry's like, why didn't Ovaltine? Like he's interested by it.
Right.
But, I think we do that with God sometimes where we're like, all right, I got to do this, this, and this, and this. And you wouldn't do that with a dear friend.
Right.
You wouldn't.
Right.
And I think there's a time to reverence God, but also understand that like he already knows all that. He knows that you're making the list.
Right.
And he's probably smirking at that. This guy thinks he's got to have a list.
Right.
Like just be real. Be real with God.
Yeah. Show up. Let it be what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, the dear friend, the key is show up daily or show up often. And yeah. That's where that familiarity comes right. from. And I get where people struggle because they don't feel like they're hearing audibly as they
would. Or they don't feel like God's a dear friend. That can be hard yeah, too. If they absolutely. Have a relationship that's wonky or it's hard for them to get past those boundaries or whatever. I don't know. And why isn't Ovaltine a bigger drink?
That's a good question.
Why didn't it take off? That's the real question.
Isn't it though?
I don't know.
Ovaltine was a good historical drink though, Johnny.
It was. I think Nestle Quick kind of put it out of, do you think that's what took over?
You know what? I hope they're going to do an episode of The Food That Built America.
I watched an episode of that Ooh. While I was on vacation.
Pretty
we
good.
Watched one about candies. It was, maybe it wasn't candy. It was ice cream, the first ice cream trucks.
Yeah.
It's like, this is really fascinating.
Wasn't it
the
good?
The Good Humor Man.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked it. It was good. But yes, you're right, John. And this is the part of the show where we like to go back.
Yeah.
We've gone forward. Listen, sometimes we've spent the whole show looking in the windshield.
Mm.
Now it's time to look in the rearview mirror and talk about this week in history. It's a segment we call Talk About Then. That's right, John. This week, 1987, a little cartoon, an animated series called The Simpsons premiered.
Mm.
They got their start as a series of 48 one-minute animated shorts on the Tracey Ullman Show. Do you remember that?
I do.
Tracey Ullman Show was a sketch comedy show. They ultimately got their own primetime slot 2 years later in 1989. And of course, went on to be a cultural phenomenon. Creator Matt Groening modeled Bart after his older brother Mark, naming him Bart, an anagram of brat, which I think I've heard before.
Yeah.
That Bart was a brat. 1973, John. You might not know this because you're not this is more of a sci-fi slash horror film.
Mm.
There was a movie, a dystopian film that came out this week, 1973, about life in the year 2022, oddly enough, amid overpopulation, food shortages, climate change, and a mysterious food source is released. It starred Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson. Do you remember the movie?
Soylent Green.
Yes.
There we go.
And do you remember the whole plot point, the whole spoiler of the movie, that if you've not seen it by now?
Soylent Green's made of people.
Right. He's suspicious of it. People are drinking this drink.
Yeah.
And they're like, it helps, you know, whatever. Never felt more revitalized. And there's, food shortages, so it's kind of like, this saved us.
Yeah.
And then he ends up at some warehouse, and he sees, like, a leg going up a conveyor belt or something. He's like, hold on.
Uh-oh.
The weird thing is, I remember this in a listicle that I read the other day about, you know, old movies and terrible, like, movie trailers.
Right.
And how movie trailers give too much away, especially now.
Did they put that in the trailer?
The leg going up the conveyor belt is in the trailer of that movie. So it's like, the whole hook of the movie is he realizes, this is people, you can't. And that was in the trailer.
No.
So they already tipped their hand.
No
but maybe
wonder.
Maybe people were not wired to find the spoilers and they were still surprised, but.
I don't know.
1951, General Douglas MacArthur, in his farewell speech to Congress, stated, war's very object is victory, not prolonged indecision. In war, there's no substitute for victories. That was his famous, there's no substitute for victory speech. U.S. President Harry S. Truman had relieved MacArthur of all command during the Korean War for making unauthorized statements. Which I think is just the best.
Yeah,
like somebody in their last public statement says some crazy thing, and then you find out, yeah, he was removed from duty because he said crazy stuff.
Yeah, MacArthur, after World War II, things did not go well for him.
Maybe he had a little PTSD. Well, I think he was just one of those guys. He was like a loose cannon, maybe.
Yeah.
He was drinking his own Kool-Aid. He was feeling himself when a microphone was nearby.
Yeah.
Some people love the camera, John.
Mm.
Let's see. I'm going to go. The shot heard around the world this week, 1775. The shot heard around the world. The American Revolution began with battles of
Lexington and Concord.
Yes.
Yeah.
John D.
Yeah.
Ever the historian.
Would you send me that map of all of the British territories or countries that have declared
wasn't that
independence
fascinating?
And what I mean, it covers
every
the whole
continent.
World.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was interesting to me that the United States was 1776, which, by the way, I wanted to dispute that a little bit.
Oh, really?
Because technically, that's just when they declared their independence.
Right.
They didn't
win our independence
until 1781.
Yeah.
Because it was a long war. So, and guys, that will preach. So
sometimes you need 5 years to get free.
Yeah, just because you declared it, you're going to have to. Anyway.
You can't just declare bankruptcy, but, like Michael Scott.
I declare. but you can't just say bankruptcy. I didn't. I declared it. But it was interesting to me, all the rest were in the 1900s.
Yeah. It's amazing that like a tiny country like Britain had control over, I mean, most of the world at some point.
Yeah.
Like they colonized and that's crazy. Just the idea of that imperialism and that, I don't know, and it still kind of permeates. I think the idea that we still have a right to be like, yeah. But then now I think more so, there's a way more hands-off approach to like NATO and the United Nations. You just see a lot more people being like, yeah, you can't just take over other countries, dude.
Right.
We're going to put you down. I mean, that's what's happening in Ukraine. They're like, hey, Russia, you may think you have a claim to this still. We don't do that anymore.
Right.
We're going to fight back.
Right.
We're going to support this rebel alliance.
We need to make
you.
Sure we don't do that anymore because there's places, certainly in Africa, is still.
Well, back in the day, that was more like might makes right. Like, if you're a big country, you're like, well, yeah, clearly we have a right to this.
That's what happens, yeah.
Now you just don't see it as much. And I kind of am glad we're in that era of timing where it's like, look, you've got a perfectly good country. Just make it good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, colonization in general carries with it some level of either ethnic, cultural, or racial superiority in your thought to think this should be something.
Right.
Or often it's just for money, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but
we've got to go civilize these wild
people. It justifies what you do, you know. But no.
All right, John, this is one 1692
Okay.
this week. Ooh. Bridget Bishop is accused of witchcraft.
This is in Salem.
She would be hanged 8 weeks later, making her the first of 20 people executed in 1692 for witchcraft in Salem, Massachusetts. She was accused of bewitching five young women who claimed the shape of Bishop would pinch, choke, and bite them. She was accused of using colored lace, thereby dressing more artistically than women of the village. So just, this is the first, like, modesty police.
Wow.
It's one of the witchcraft things that she did was dressing in lace, which I never knew that. She was accused of playing shuffleboard. Both signs of consorting with the devil.
Wow.
Lace and games.
Mm.
So these were kind of uptight people.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I, you know, we grew up in the evangelical South where we had a lot of rules and we had a lot of legalism. I don't think anybody ever got accused of being possessed by the devil for playing shuffleboard, though.
I don't think so. These are not the same Puritans I was speaking about earlier, who,
right.
the theologians who are writing.
Oh, okay.
I hope not.
Well, yeah. Who knows? Maybe there was some bleed over. We hope not, though. The oldest person ever to give birth, April 19th, 2016, which this is pretty recent.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess how old the person was?
67.
72.
No way.
72-year-old Dalhinder Kaur of India gives birth to a healthy son.
Wow.
Her first child.
Wow.
So that's interesting that it was her first. She's like, you know what? It's never too late.
Yeah. Interesting.
She'd been trying to have a child for 46 years without success.
Unbelievable.
She was finally able to afford fertility treatments after an inheritance. So she kind of was like, she sunk this inheritance into like, I'm going to have a baby in my 70s. And she did it.
Okay.
2016.
Wow.
You talk about Carline. That's going to be a...
Ooh.
Because you don't... Have you ever thought about that? Like, you're not going to be the old dad. You timed it out right. But like my brother is kind of the old dad compared to like my niece Nettie. She is 6 and he's going to be the old dad in Carline. He's going to be in his 50s very soon.
You see it a lot.
Some people, see it more often. So I'm not saying he should be, I'm just saying like that was one of the fears of having kids late is like, you don't want to be the old dad.
But in many ways, I think you have more tools to work with, you know?
Oh yeah.
And you can fall asleep easier.
I used to be mad at starting comedy late. Like I started comedy, I was 33. And I kind of used to go, God, I wish I'd started. Because I'd see these kids, they're 16, 17, going to open mics, and they're already pretty good. I'm like, man, I could have just set. But I think the same way about that. I'm like, no, I needed this.
Yeah.
All this failure and angst and everything that I experienced, a real work life where I had to be with around other people. I think I needed all that stuff.
What would you say to someone who is still in failure and angst, say, in their 40s?
I'd say hang in there, buddy.
Okay.
Hang in there. Let's see. Okay, last one. The first U.S. consumer product was sold in the Soviet Union April of 1973. Do you want to take a guess on what that consumer product? They signed a contract with the USSR.
Okay.
What was that product?
Is it food?
It's a U.S. consumer product, John.
McDonald's.
Pepsi.
Okay.
But yeah, you were on the right track.
I was
of
close.
It being food and being...
Yeah.
I figured it might be Coke.
You think Coke would get there first?
Maybe Pepsi undersold. They were like, look, I'll do it for...
Hey, listen, Food Builds America on Coke and Pepsi, you should watch that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cola Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Well, that's the thing. I know a lot about it because there have been documentaries about it, and it's fascinating to me because I'm a big cola person.
Yeah.
That's what they call me. The big cola person.
Come in, yeah.
I love the idea of it because it's a very American story, because you had this giant and they were cleaning Pepsi's clock, and then at some point in the 80s they said, why are we spending all this money on advertising?
Yeah.
And they dialed back their advertising and Pepsi lapped them.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of it, meaning there's a famous saying in entertainment circles, if you're not appearing, you're disappearing.
Come on now.
So, and I know that can get a little bit out of hand of where we gotta derive our value from, but the idea of stay in motion.
Right.
You know, even if you're just selling CDs out of the trunk of your car, like stay in motion, because if you're not working, you're out of work.
Yeah.
And so I think Coke lost the plot a little bit, and we're like, well, we're the biggest in the world. We don't need to. And you're like, no, there's still McDonald's commercials for a reason. Because we got to keep reminding people McDonald's is out there, even though we all know there's a McDonald's on every block.
It's crazy to me. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Coke literally stopped advertising and just started diving, even though, you know, it's not like anybody tried a Coke for the first time
right. When
it came back. Like, it's not that. It's scary.
It shows you how
brand
susceptible,
recognition does.
Yeah, susceptible yeah. we are to those impulses too.
Yeah.
We need to see you 7 times a day to remind us, oh, I do want a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Even though I drink Diet Coke all day, I still need somebody going, Diet Coke.
Hey, Diet Coke.
I need a deep voice person, attractive person telling me that Diet Coke is delicious.
And guys, we're those people.
If there's anything we could say, let's imagine we've already said that thing.
Right.
In a deep, attractive voice.
Hey, did you know?
Maybe we're the person in the car distracting you, causing you to rear end.
Oh.
And set in motion the horrifying
events of my childhood.
Yeah. I apologize.
Did you know if you went to www.talkaboutthatpodcast.com, what could they get, Johnny?
They get all of our archived episodes. If they go to our Patreon link there, they could even kick in a few shekels and get ad-free versions of the podcast now.
And we'd like to say, too, that our website had a pretty decent refresh this last...
Oh, yeah, it's nice, and we punched it up. Yeah. We'd like to thank our buddy Jeffrey Holland for helping with that.
You can go in there and just scroll right down also and see our YouTube videos of each episode. You can watch if you want to see.
Watch along if you want to see our ugly mugs.
Yeah, you can subscribe there. You can...
And there's links to our socials, I think, so go check those out, and that's how you can find out more about the show.
And we got another new exciting announcement coming out in the next, at least within the next 2 weeks, if not sooner.
Yes.
So we're adding one more component for our listeners that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be AI.
Oh,
we'll
man.
Predict what you want to hear from us.
Remind me to talk about AI next week, because already in my writing career, AI has this new stuff in the last...
It's making you adjust?
Well...
It's throwing you a curveball?
People are sending me things now that AI has already...
You think it's people.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
It's people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's AI the whole time. It's AI.
It's crazy, these sci-fi movies that kind of got it right, though. The idea that there would be overpopulation, there would be a hunger crisis.
Yeah.
There would be, you know, like, the climate change, all of it. Like, we're facing all these things now. Nutrition is more important than ever, and you do see people drinking these green drinks. Like, what's in these green drinks?
Is it possible?
Is it people?
I don't know. But you know what is possible for you to go to that website?
Talkaboutsoilentgreen.com.
And you could leave us a review, though. That really helps.
That does. The algorithm, the almighty algorithm, loves to push things that already have activity on them. So if you leave a 5-star review, if you write a review... That helps other people find
it. It's like your Diet Coke impression you're giving to the world.
You're like, telling people, like, this show was delicious. I approve.
And even though all your friends are probably already listening, it just gives them another reminder to do so.
Mm-hmm. Don't just assume. Oh, this thing about my comedy career, too. I think I have the kind of career that I'm successful enough that I've been doing it full time for 10 years, 12 years. But I think I'm successful enough too that my friends are like, Johnny doesn't need our likes and our shares. When he puts out a new clip, like, good for him. I'm like, no.
He needs it.
I'm not that level yet. Please help me.
And even when you have to maintain when you are that level.
Yes, please, guys.
So go to Johnny W, JONNIEW.com. You can follow, man, Johnny on Instagram, Facebook. He's a great follow. Lots
follow
of funny
me
videos.
Around in public.
Yeah, man.
That's not
fine.
Please don't do that.
He only gives out restraining orders in the rarest of occasions.
So. Go check out John's books on Amazon.com. New projects coming out. John's working on a couple new things now. So many things in the pipeline. John's a busy man.
Yeah. I mean, no.
You are.
But I've done stuff before.
You have done stuff.
We did do a Google search of me earlier today. Just we were checking our
Google
stuff.
You were
trying
to act like you were way down on the fifth page. I was like, it's right here. John Driver Podcast. We're the first one.
Yeah. And then a bunch of other interviews I'd done.
Tons of podcast interviews.
That page.
I think you wanted me to do it so you could be like,
No, honestly.
I'm doing pretty good over here. I looked up, your hands were on your lapels. Like, that's weird.
Maybe I was on Ask Jeeves or something. I don't know. I didn't Google it properly, so... Hey, listener, it means a lot that you spend this time with us every week, and we look forward to doing it with you again next week on
Talk About Now.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.